Welcome to season 4 of the Excel podcast. In this season, as before, we will be bringing you news, views and opinions from people relating to the driver training industry, both local personalities from here in the Southwest and nationally recognised figures, all of whom will have something to say about their experience with driver training. We hope you enjoy each episode, and if you do, please give us a like at the end of it. Hello everyone, thank you for those of you who have tuned in to listen to this latest episode of the Excel podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome today somebody who has produced what I think ought to become the latest in the list, or probably has become the latest in the list of books the DVSA should be recommending as essential reading. This is the author of a book called, which many of you may have come across, Untwisting the Road to Success. So I'm absolutely delighted to have with me today Mr. Neil Whiteman.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Neil. Thanks ever so much for giving up the time to do this.
It's not a problem at all.
As I say, I think there is a list of books that I would say to any up-and-coming trainee or even anybody in the industry already. I can remember the first book that really impinged on me probably was Ian Edwards' Can Drivers Really Teach Themselves?
Yeah.
And then of course Jed and Claire Wilmot with Who's in the Driving Seat came along. So in a little while we'll get onto your book and how that fits in with everything and complements all the others and what's particularly unique about yours. Before we get there, so if that's okay with you anyway, so before we get there, just give us a little bit of an overview of how you've got to where you are today.
That's a good question. It is a good question. So obviously part of my background was I was a retained fireman, and obviously in that sort of domain you are put into situations that you have to deal with and have no emotions to. So whilst everywhere's burning, everybody's running away, you're running to it. So that gave me some of an insight into sort of things that might happen. So obviously I attended various road accidents, and I got to the point where I thought, maybe I need to start teaching these people how to drive crash properly.
Yeah.
And it was just at that point, I had a few problems at home. So I left for fire service and I decided that I was going to train as a driving instructor. And yeah, I made it to being a driving instructor and then decided to set myself a 10-year plan. And through that 10-year plan, and people laugh, but I am a complete CPD junkie. I love CPD. And that's what pushed me to do all the certificates that I've done. So obviously I set myself up as a driving school. Then my next plan was to get to be fleet registered. And by 10 years time, I would plan to be audit registered. And I did it with 2 years to spare.
Excellent.
So I achieved that. So then me being me, I have to look around for something else. And everything then is motivated through CPD, and I'm the biggest advocate you'll find for CPD. I write articles for DIA and the MSA about CPD, and if it was up to me, it would be mandatory tomorrow. But
yeah, I'm with you on that.
But there you go. So ideally, CPD has brought me to the position that I'm in now. Right. You know, constantly thriving to learn more, constantly thriving to be the best, but the best that I can be.
Yeah.
I can't dictate what everybody else can no. be, but the best I can be, and I believe that I'm starting to get to that point now, but I'm still looking for more. I never stop looking.
Well, I think the day that anybody says they don't need to look anymore is the day they ought to pack it in. Personally,
very much so. You know, if you have fails and you don't reflect on them, then that's the time that it's getting to that point where yeah. you need to say try to this. But
yeah,
totally agree.
Yes, but you know, it is a sad situation when you know it's roughly 10% of the industry actually actively involves itself in CPD.
It's disappointing, really, because things change, things move on, things evolve, and you can't stay stagnant. You need to be moving with the times. And that's any industry that you're in, not just driving instruction. It's any industry. If you keep evolving with the industry as it's moving forward, it'll be a lot easier. And I found that through my own CPD.
Yeah, it's sad when I read about people who, sometimes the DVSA rightly should be criticised for some things, but it's when people are moaning about the standards check and saying, that is a tick box exercise and all this sort of thing. But then I get encouraged and gladdened when people say, come on, just if you treat every lesson the way a standards check is, it's not that hurdle. It's not that tick box exercise. But a lot of the time you're preaching to the converted with that.
Yeah, you are. But, you know, my book hopefully does that and it keeps people focused. But you shouldn't be scared of your standards check. It should be an everyday lesson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You should be able to just turn up and say, right, I can walk this today. Yeah. Depending on the grade can fall because things can go against you. You don't know what the traffic's like out there. You don't know how your student's going to react.
Yeah.
You don't know what the examiner's feeling that day. Has he had a good day? Has he had a bad day? Did he have a bad night? So there is things that can change the grade, but you should be able to pass a standards check.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have had an instance some years ago now of one of my instructors. She went for a standards check, and the route she was intending to use, they closed the road that morning. I had a PDI. Fortunately, you passed 3 weeks ago. She had to take her third choice learner because the first one, would you believe, the week before, suddenly realised she was going on holiday to Spain the next week. I had to take her third choice, who wasn't an ideal one, and had a complete utter meltdown halfway through and was in tears. Mm. And Vicky had to take over the driving for a few minutes. So the examiner said, that's not an ideal situation in a part three test, but he said, you had to do it. So well done.
Yeah. I've had much similar. I've had PDIs go out on a lesson and they've come round the corner because of the planned route that we've got. And there's fire engines in the middle of the road with blue lights, and they've adapted the lesson to the fact that's there. And that's what she would have done in a normal lesson anyway.
Yes.
So why shouldn't she be doing it on a part two or part three or standards check? So it's just about having that chance to think outside the box sometimes.
Yes, having the flexibility to do that thinking and not sticking to a script, which is no longer appropriate.
Yeah, but it shows it's natural then, and it's not a planned session.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. It needs to be not a planned thing, you know, because you can see through anything.
I was just about to say that myself. The examiner will see through that straight away.
Yeah, as a trainer, I mean, sit in the back sometimes and you think, this is really staged really well for me, but well done, But if I can see it, the examiners can see it. So it's just taking what comes and dealing with what comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, well, what came after a few years then was, of course, your book. So just where was, there must have been an embryo in your mind somewhere about this. And what was the sort of the process to actually, the thought in your head to the actual production of it?
So I don't know where the embryo was, but I think what it was, I was doing PDI training. And I was starting to collate some emails, putting them together to send to my PDIs. And then this thing come along called COVID. And obviously I was at home and I needed to do something. So I just looked at them emails, and because I was just going to sort them out and get them all in order. And I just had this feeling that, you know what, this could turn into being a book.
Yeah.
This could turn into to helping people as well as my PDIs and myself, and help the general community out there. So I looked at putting it into some form of order, and I thought about it, and I wrote it, and I went back to it, and I went back to it, and I reread it, and I rewrote it, and it took a lot of time, and it took nearly all the time of COVID, but the biggest thing in the back of my mind was, I need to write this how I understand it. And I want to try and make it simple, because there's a lot of books out there and they're all really good. So don't think I'm knocking any of them, but they're really good. But I do find they're very intellectual.
Right, yes.
You know, there's big words in there sometimes, and people don't always get on with big words. So I just wanted to keep it really simple, so I wrote it the way I understand it. And then I had this thing, and I thought, you know what, this could be a book. So I spoke to somebody that I knew that had used the publisher, and I just had a chat with her and said, see what you think. So I sent it across. She looked at it and she said, yeah, it sounds like a good book.
Yeah.
And then the process started. So that's not an easy process to go through neither.
No, that's what I was thinking. I imagine there's proofreading after proofreading and all that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. So I wrote what I thought, sent it to her. She would proofread it.
Right.
She would send it to somebody else to have proofread. And then it would come back and you've got to alter this, you've got to alter this, you've got to alter this. So I'd do that, send it back off again. And all the way through the book, that happened all the way through.
Right.
But it's not mega amount, so it's not the whole book, but a little bit. But I also had this thought, I can make this a little bit different to the rest out there. And that's when I started to think about putting like links into YouTube videos.
Yeah,
and it was my publisher that said, just put little QR codes in there and it will take it through to YouTube. So COVID was nearly done, and I'd got a student that I knew was going to be with me for a little time. And I asked her, you know, do you want some free lessons? Are you happy to come and film? And we'll put it into an order. And she was studying for drama as well, so it helped her with her degree as well, which is brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
So we worked together, and we just did natural driving lessons. That's all they are. They're not staged. They're just natural at that point. And we just recorded it. And, it turned out really well. And it was surprising, you know. And then it got to the stage where I was choosing covers for it and all sorts, and I'm thinking this is actually going to get published. So I was thinking then, I'm going to be a published author now. I only need to sell one copy. But you sell one copy and you want 10, and you sell 10 and you want 100, and so on and so on. But it really did take off, and I'm really pleased it did, to be quite honest. And I hope that it's helping a lot of instructors out there, to be honest.
Well, I've no doubt on that. What number are you up to now? Do you know?
635 the last time I looked.
Right, because I saw a post somewhere that you're up to 500, but I flicked it very quickly as I didn't see the date on that. So, yeah, so, you know, that's nearly 5% of the 40,000 out there, which is pretty good going. But, you know, to me, I think I want to make sure that from this that I've, particularly the community down here in the Southwest, get to hear about it. And so this podcast has a limited, we're nothing like Terry Cook.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get to that level. But and he will berate me for saying things like that, because he says, just do what you do is good enough.
That's it. You know, you can only be the best you can be. But
yeah,
sure, from these sort of things, you will start to, you know, explode with it, and it'll be good.
Yeah,
be good.
You know, I'm lucky enough that people like yourself, and I say San Harper's is actually going out in about half an hour's time at 5 o'clock tonight, and Lee Jowett did the first one of this current season. He seems to have made as much of COVID as you have. the break, some of us probably didn't quite do so much productive stuff during that time. But you know, it's great that I've got these national figures. I am struggling to twist the arms of people down here. Mm. I think one of the issues is that people feel if they're not somebody who is nationally known as a name, that they haven't got anything that other people want to listen to.
Mm.
And I keep telling them that probably the first season I did, the most listened to episode I did was one of our local instructors.
Yes.
You know, and everybody's got something that they can do. The ADI now, who passed 3 weeks ago, I've twisted her arm to do a podcast next week about what happened to her and how she overcame a situation that nobody would really want to have on their part three, but she had it. And you know, other people could think, oh crikey, if she managed to do that, you know, and overcome it, then maybe there's hope for me.
Yeah, a lot of people will benefit from what she'll say.
Yeah. Oh yes. You know, yes. Yeah.
She needs to believe that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I keep trying to say to people. Come on, listen, you've got something unique to say, whether you think you have or not, you have.
Yeah.
Right, let's get back to the book then, and the actual structure of it, and because it's very much, isn't it, sort of looking at the different criteria of the part three and sort of standards check report sheet.
Yeah, I mean it was designed to be, and I say this to a lot of people, it was designed to be a manual that you could have in the back of your car. You could say, do a couple of lessons and then look at that in just lesson planning and think, you know what, I've just covered that, so I'll move on. I'll start looking at my risk management, I'll start looking at my teaching and learning strats. It's not, you know, you just read it and then you forget about it. There's exercises in there.
Yeah.
And the exercises relate to the national standards, which is the backbone of our job.
You're taking away all the questions I was going to ask you. Yeah, and I think the National Standards is a document that is very, I say little understood, because a lot of people don't actually know it exists.
Exactly, yeah. But it's the thing that I say to a lot of ADIs that when I'm doing training, it's not your pass rate that, you know, passes your standards check. It's the 17 competencies, and the 17 competencies come from the National Driver and Rider Standards. If you don't know them, how are you going to complete your standards check? That's the bit that underpins your business. That is your business, because that's the one that's going to take you through your standards check or your part three. So understand the competencies. Have them in the back of your head. If you can't remember them all, have the book in the back of your car.
Yeah.
Keep referring to it. You know, One of the exercises is to go through the National Driver and Rider Standards and put in where it relates to with each reference.
Yeah, you're a great interviewee because I'm not having to ask these questions because I know I found fascinating that here's somebody who's actually, if somebody's going to use this book properly and seriously, then they've got to do that. They've got to complete that exercise.
Yeah,
you know, and making people realise, oh yeah, is that, this does make some sense.
Yeah, and it's easy then to take it forward if you do that.
Yeah,
you know, because you can watch the video and then look at the National Rider and Drain Standards and then think, I do that, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
then move to the next one and work on the ones that are not comfortable to you.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what it was designed to do. But it, like I say, it's one of those that you can chuck in the back of your car and you can keep referring to.
Yeah.
It's like having a buddy in the back of your car, shall we say. Yeah. Because how many times do driving instructors, because it is a lonely job out there.
Yes.
You know, think, oh, did I do that right? Or am I doing this right? You know, without saying to somebody, which you don't really want to keep bothering people, you know, it's just referred to the book and the book will say whether you're doing it correctly or you need to tweak or you're not doing it correctly.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed it to do. And that's what I believe it does.
Oh yeah. I totally agree with you there. Some time ago now, when I first got the book, I did one of the QR codes and it was the one, I think you've got one on route planning.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by that because trying to drum into PDIs and ADIs on the standards check that we don't need to be going here, there, and everywhere. We can just, you know, just go round a circuit. You know, it only takes to take 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you know, I can remember having one guy training with me who would do just a very short circuit, and we pull up and reflect on what's happened. And then he was saying, right, okay, let's go round again.
Mm.
And I said, hang on a minute. Why are we going round again?
Yeah.
You know, is it just to admire the scenery? Or, you know, there needs to, if we're going to go round again, there's got to be a purpose to it.
Yeah. But if you think about it, you've got a small route. And what I like about small routes is if you go round one way, you can get quite familiar with that and you can improve, but then you can be took straight out of your comfort zone by turning the vehicle around and going the opposite way. And doing that in the book, writing it, I actually realized how true that was, because things do look different when you go the opposite way.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that is the biggest thing that can throw PDIs and ADIs straight away. If they have to alter what they're doing, it looks different.
Yeah.
And they panic. Whereas if they can get that small route, practice that, get it right, and then turn back around and do it again the opposite way, they will get to take it and make it grow, and it'll blossom into that great big flower.
Yeah. I was out with a learner yesterday morning and in a small area around the back of Honiton, which is the nearest town to me. And one of our, in fact, Vicky, the one who passed 2 weeks ago, was her learner was kangaroo hopping out of a pretty difficult juncture. We were just sat parked up. We just arrived to do this circuit. And Georgia, my girl, has only got her third lesson. We're watching this poor learner trying to get out of this junction. And I'm saying to Georgia, you need to empathize with that girl, because sometime during this next 2 hours, you're going to be coming out of that junction.
Yeah.
And sure enough, eventually we got there. It didn't take us too long because she was a cracking learner for making progress and understanding foot controls. But we got to this junction and exactly the same thing happened. But this other one went round three or four times, at least three times. The third time she came out really smoothly, and I said to Georgia, "That's what you're going to be doing."
Yeah,
we're going to find out how to do that. But no, we must have been sat there for 5 minutes or so talking about one or two things, and they went round past us three times.
Yeah,
so it's such a short circuit, but there were learning was taking place because this the. Vicky's learner got out there really smoothly in the end.
Yeah, and did you yourself tie that up with the competences? Because that is a great way, you know, to understand how the competences tie together, because that is where opportunities used to increase learning, you know, the learning outcomes. That Which learner was can just watch that one student and learn off that.
Well, that was exactly the criteria that Phil Cowley got me doing his podcast on. So that's really fresh in my mind at the moment about using, you know, learning experiences to help with learning. Yeah.
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 And it's great, to be quite honest. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was dear Lou Walsh, bless her, who always used to say about you go out on a lesson and you've got there's a blank canvas out there and that's going to get filled by something or some things.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, use them.
Yeah. I say, not the same as Lou, but I tend to say to my ADIs or the PDIs that I'm training, there's loads of gift horses out there.
Yes.
There's one coming up now, look. Yeah. And it's just embrace it, and it's great. Them sort of things are great.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so with the book, it's about tying all the competencies up together, understanding how they all link together as well.
Yeah. I am really impressed with my ability to actually use the QR codes as well and focus. I looked at these at the back. When I first saw them, the ones on teaching and learning strategies, all the coding in it looks really, it's very faint. And I thought, are they going to work? When you go into it and you open it up, the clarity of the actual videos and the quality of them is superb.
Yeah.
So, you know, well done with that, because there's some really powerful teachings.
Yeah, the reason that they look faint is because they've been done in colour. So...
Oh, right.
I colour-coded the learning teaching strategy.
Right.
Colour-coded the risk management, and I colour-coded the lesson planning.
Oh, yes, I can see there is a because the lesson planning is quite dark.
Yeah.
The risk management's not quite so dark, and the teaching and learning strategies are... How did I not pick that up?
So I went with the traffic light system, but I went...
Right.
I went green, red and amber, and the amber ones are the teaching and learning strats, so that's why they look faint.
Oh, makes sense to me now.
Yeah. But because of one, cost, and two, printing as well,
right, yeah,
it was better to do them in black and white, but keep that distinct bit, because people hopefully people will now see that and think, oh yeah, I realise why that's fainter than that one. So
yeah.
So yeah, there was a method behind the madness.
And also there's a really extensive section at the end, sort of the last quarter of the book really, isn't it? The resources section.
Yeah.
Which is rich in material there as well.
Yeah, so, you know, we all need extra stuff to learn, or we all need extra stuff to look at. Like I say, there's a bit in there about CPD. I could have probably wrote a full book on CPD, to be quite honest, but, you know, it's something that I advocate a lot of. And just reading this book is CPD.
Yes.
And breaking it down into hours as well, you know. And... It's just, I hope just hope it helps everybody that reads it, to be quite honest.
Well, if it doesn't, then I don't know what will. But there are some people who do find reading difficult, don't they? So the fact that this is it's pretty, I wouldn't say large print, but it's not dense print, is it? So it's it is pretty readable.
Well, now you mention that, I have got a PDI that doesn't like reading. So what he's done, he's got his sister to read it and record it,
All right.
and he scans the barcodes. So she reads it like an audio book, so he can have that in his car whilst he's driving to and from work and that. And then he watches videos at night.
All right.
So it's now found another niche in its way of being read, shall we say.
Yeah.
So there's various ways of doing this now.
Yeah. Are there any plans for it to become an audio book?
No, it's too expensive to get somebody to
Right.
read it.
Yeah, I thought that's what it
And
might be.
I don't like hearing myself talking back, so I'm not going to read it.
No. Another aspect of this resort, you've mentioned the National Standards for Driver and Rider Training, but you, along with people like Lee and Mick at Kit, the GDE is a very prominent aspect as well.
Yeah, so obviously there's links to the Merit Port, Gadget Report, and the Hermes Report in there, and they are the foundations of the GDE. So that's where the GDE was born from. One of my trainers explained it as an interview section before, and that's how I explain it now. You know, it's from the top, what you like, how do you plan? What's your journey going to be planned like? How do you do it? Do you just wing it in the day of the, yeah? And how's that going to make you feel? So how are you going to control the car? And is your control car roadworthy and everything else? Breaking it down like that just makes it simple. Just makes it simple.
I was doing a mock test for my business partner yesterday, and the girl was coming up to a roundabout, which to the right was totally empty. And she didn't look, and she stopped. And then when she went to go, there was something coming. And I said to her afterwards, "Why didn't you go? Why didn't you look? Because if you'd looked, you wouldn't have stopped." Then she said, "Oh, I just wanted to be absolutely certain to be safe." Now, Christy, my business partner, sat in the back of it, and before I could say anything, she came up with, "Yeah, but what are the consequences if you've got somebody behind you who's already seen? It's clear." And then I started talking about this particular roundabout because it's the only place, the only roundabout in Exeter where I've been rear-ended, and I've been rear-ended there twice by two different people. But well, unfortunately, it was two different people, but about a year apart. Now, the first one, because I've been able to use these as things to do with the GDE about planning a journey and what are your thoughts and what's going through your mind. The first one, when we pulled over, I had a chat with the occupant of the passenger seat before I spoke to the driver, and I gave the occupant of the passenger seat a scratch behind the ears because her pooch was sitting there. Well, should the dog be there? Well, we didn't go into any of that. But the second one, roughly a year later, going back about 10 years now, I said to Jane, the girl yesterday, it was 10 past three, and it was a mother or a woman about mid-30s. I said, "Where was she going?" And it took a moment or two. She said, "Oh, 10 past, school run," and she was late. And it's all these sorts of things about what's going on in our minds that affect our journeys. And it's all very well having the level one and level two car control, but it's what's going on in your mind that it's going to affect it far more.
I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, your business partner mentioned consequences. I am a believer in that, but I go to feelings straight away.
So yes.
As we're approaching this roundabout, what is the person behind feeling? What is the person behind thinking? What should you be feeling and what should you be thinking? So, you know, it's getting to understand how them feelings and thoughts are going to affect what's going to happen. Because they're feeling that they're probably going to keep going.
Yeah.
And in their mind, the wheels are moving.
Yeah.
And the wheels are not going to stop. And all of a sudden they stop. So that's where we start to get annoyed and emotional. Yeah. And
My two were, we had stopped and we needed to.
Yeah.
And because it's a learner, they're not as prompt always as other drivers, and I'm absolutely certain the people behind had seen to the right that there was a chance to go, and they're on the gas pedal before they look forwards.
Yeah,
it was fairly minor stuff. And of course, these learners start thinking, "Oh, it's all my fault, and I've got it wrong, and I've been in a crash." I was like, we've sort of touched another car. But it's, you know, it's a traumatic experience for anybody when it happens for the first time.
Totally agree with that.
But it's, you know, again, it's obviously chances to learn things.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I am a thorough advocate of the book, and it's in the list of things that I recommend that people need to be using, whether they're training or whether they're already doing the job.
Totally agree with that. The one thing I would ask your listeners to do, and this is just a personal thing, is when you get to a part three or a standards check, have it chucked on the back seat so the examiner can see it.
We're going to need bookshelves, because Ian Edwards' book and Jed and Claire's and then yours. I think that sort of thing, or you're not sort of trying to influence the examiner, but if you can show that you're doing something above and beyond, you know, it might just be there for show with some people, but you know, if you've taken the effort to have these sorts of things, because I always have, whenever I'm doing a training session, I've always got the highway code and essential skills with me, because if a PDI says something that I'm not sure of, I want to find out, you know, where's this come from? Is it in those books?
Yeah. See, I'm much the same, but I have them in the back of my car.
Yeah.
So the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can stop. And I would probably ask them, so where are you going to find this information?
Yes.
And they would say, or the highway code or whatever. I say, okay, let's go to the boot, because guess what's in the boot? So, it's just about working in different ways, that's all.
Yes. Yeah. We're all working to the same end. Girl yesterday afternoon, Christy returned a mock test for me. And on the way there, I said to the girls, anything you particularly concerned about? And she said, I've been trying to get reverse bay parking sorted. I'm still not really with it. And I've got a friend who's told me that if you don't get in first time, that's it. I said to her on the way back, Katie Grace, can you go and ask your friend where he or she got this information from? Because I'd like to know. I don't know how she got that fixed in her mind. She's obviously forgotten what I'm been saying to her. It's real life. You watch anybody trying to reverse into a parking bay who doesn't get in first time. First of all, do they keep going back and crashing into the car either side of them? No. What do? Watch them. They go forwards.
Yeah.
And they get themselves in. Oh, can you do that? it's real life, you know.
Yeah.
Do it safely. It's about doing things, let's say, safely. There are different ways of what I'm getting out of going back, because I almost lost train there. We're all aiming for the same thing.
Mm.
The way we do it
is different.
Doesn't matter. Lovely. Well, that's great. I just want to thank you for all of that, because this is definitely a recommended reading as far as I'm concerned. Just want to sort of finish on other interests that you have and other sort of branches you have, because you're very much, as you said, CPD orientated. But there are things like the, I've got to get the initial, Institute of Master Driver Trainers.
So
That's something.
Institute of Master Tutors for Driving.
That's the one. I've got the four letters right.
So IMTD. So IMTD is just a group of road safety experts, driving instructors. They're not all driving instructors, so
No.
they come from different aspects of the industry. It was probably quite quiet, not known about for a while. I obviously I was looking for something
Yeah.
else as well, so I joined, and now I'm on the executive committee, and I absolutely love it. It was me that probably pushed a little bit to get CPD, so the IMTD does offer free CPD
All right.
on the first Sunday of every month,
Yeah.
unless there's a bank holiday or something like that, Easter or
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
And people are quite welcome to just join and get the CPD,
Yeah.
do it. It's only for an hour, So if any of your listeners on here want to attend, because there's one on the 7th of March, April, and that's a lady called Pam Chase, and she's talking about building business through LinkedIn,
All right.
which is really big. So
Yes.
if people, want to attend that from your listening group, if they want to send me an email with their name, their postcode, a mobile number and their email address, I'll put them onto the list and send them a link. I normally send the link 2 days before the session, so it's at the top of their inbox rather than sending it out now and then they've lost it and can't find it and whatever. But yeah, so anybody's free to join that, and it is free, and you do get a certificate as well of attendance, so that goes well with the CPD record, which everybody should be doing.
Glad you said should. And what time is that on a Sunday?
So
In the
it's 10
evening?
till 11.
Oh, in the morning.
Yeah, it's
Right.
just an hour,
Yeah.
I understand that things happen and people can't attend, and that's not an issue,
Yeah.
but if they want to, they can feel free. Just
Yeah.
email me with their details and I'll put them onto the list.
Right. So what I will do after when this goes out with the notes, I'll add your email address if
Yeah,
that's okay.
that's
If you can send that to me as well,
okay. Yeah,
we'll get that on there so they've got that information as well.
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I
Yeah.
say, they're free to come along.
Yeah.
So to get into the IMTD, you have to attend, or you can attend two meetings, face to face, which
Right.
are March, June, September, and December. And then you can apply. So it's
It's
good.
good. You've just had the March one, have you?
Yeah, we've just had the
Yeah.
March one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were some really good speakers in that.
Yeah.
So there was a lady from Loughborough University talking about sleep deprivation in young drivers, not just,
Right.
anybody.
Yeah.
It was quite enlightening, because you don't really think about the teenagers finding their level where they need to sleep and want to be up all night, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we all go through that, but it does have an effect on driving. So that was really interesting. There was a guy from a road marking company talking about road markings
All
and why
right.
they were there and why they're
Yeah.
put in certain places. So again, that was really interesting. And then the one that started to intrigue me a little bit was the traffic commissioner for Wales turned up and gave a presentation. And now you understand a little bit about what the traffic officers actually do out there on the motorway, and what
Right.
their resi what they can cover, what
Yeah.
jurisdictions they've got as well, which was really interesting. So CPD like that, it's not just about driving instruction. but it takes you into the wider scope of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and it does help. It does help, you know, because there's certain things that you can talk to your students about road markings, for example.
Mm.
You know, why are they feeling tired at certain points and things like that. So there's lots of stuff that can help driving lessons.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because I am a group for the Plymouth ADI group arranged to go to the area offices of, what is it now? Is it, it's Highways England now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I don't think it was Highways England then, but it was fascinating to go into their control centre and, God, you know, you could watch every channel on Sky or whatever, but at least they weren't doing that. But there were so many. It's such a big organisation just in Bristol, you know, and that's all around the country. And that was fascinating to see what they actually do and how, where their actual offices out on the road, the vast distances some of them cover, as well, and what they get involved in.
Yeah, and it's also you learn about where Highways England look after certain roads.
Yes,
the motorways is Highways England, and
yes,
there's certain roads round by where I live where the roundabout underneath the motorway belongs to Highways England, but the roads off it belong to the Borough Council. And things like that is really interesting
to understand
why road markings are not put in the small roads and the roundabout is kept tidy all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it can be really interesting. It can
I know I did my ROSPA training when I first did that. My trainer was showing me all these signs on the motorway or coming off of it. Tell me what it meant. You know, I thought the signs I never even thought about before. I thought I found it fascinating. Not everybody would, I don't think, but all these little abbreviations they got on them about what they all mean.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff out there that we just take for granted.
Yes, you know? It's
like the road furniture out there as well that people don't recognise that's out there that's really important. You know?
Well, I can remember just a very simple thing with Lou Walsh about how can you recognise the end of a road? And virtually every end of the road, right bang opposite the junction, there's a lamppost.
Yeah.
At the time, that's something I'd never even thought of.
Yeah.
You know, and then I didn't attend this speed awareness course, but a friend of mine did many years ago. And repeater signs, how they are on alternate sides of the road most of the time when it's appropriate.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about that.
Yeah.
I thought, it's on the right. Now the next one's on the left.
So, you know, I didn't know Lou talked about that, so that's good. But I've always mentioned to my PDIs, so where there's no road markings, the lamppost is the centre of the junction.
Yes.
It's shining the light down onto the junction. So, you know, both me and Lou were on the right page there. Then.
Yeah, and I did fleet training years ago, and you know, I probably knew it. I was aware of it, but not specifically, really explicitly aware of where the road bends round to the right. The street lights are all on the left.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense when you think about it, but it's just something that you never even thought of.
Yeah. And they're the sort of things that we need to be getting over to these 17-year-olds.
Yes, yes.
You know, the things that probably never get mentioned.
Yes.
You know, and that's really important. But we don't know it unless we do CPD.
That's right. Yes.
And we keep improving. Yeah. So, you know, there I go again. I'm that CPD.
if I hadn't done the fleet course, if I hadn't gone on Lou's standards check course many years ago, I wouldn't. Well, maybe I would have found out about them, not as early as I did, though.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. So, yeah. So the IMTD. You know, everybody's welcome to come and see if they like it or try it out.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's welcome to the CPD sessions. The more we can get there, the better.
It sparked my interest anyway when I saw it. And then when Lee was talking about it to me as well, I thought, well, I might look into this in a bit more detail.
You know, attend one of the face-to-face. You can be one of my guests if you like, and I'll introduce you and whatever. Feel free.
I'll take you up on that.
That's fine. The next one's in June if you're around.
Let me know what the date is and I'll...
Okay, I'll have to have a look at that.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about it right now.
But, yeah, no, that's fine.
That's great, Neil. Look, I've taken up enough of your time now. I think there's so much information in there for people to go away and listen to and chew on. And say, I'll put the links to the book and everything else, so they can read up on that. And thank you so very much enlightening, because I knew a lot of it already, but just listening to it from, if you don't mind me saying, the horse's mouth.
Just in case you need anything else, obviously I'm a safeguarding instructor, something that I believe all ADIs should know. If you want me to come on and do a little bit about safeguarding, feel free.
I'm just going to write that down now. Because I'm always, it's all very well just getting people who are sort of known talking about the obvious thing, like you with the book, but always thinking, well, what do I do next? What do I do next? Who do I have next? And to have sort of those sort of strings to the as well, so I can sort of come back to you and say, could we have do something like this in the future? That would be great. Really useful, because I know that that is obviously a big issue. I've had one, say Vicky again, we've been messaging each other today, and she's heard from another instructor about a third instructor who's currently under investigation for I don't know what. And Vicky was saying, well, maybe I ought to have in-car cameras to safeguard myself. So there's all sorts of issues surrounding that. So I'll keep you to that. We'll definitely come back and do that, please.
Feel free.
But it'd be great. Yes. Right. So on that note, we shall be speaking again on that. Okay. And you'll be back on here, and I'll look forward to that. And thank you once again. Thank you so much, Neil, for taking the time today.
No, that's fine. Honestly. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Right. We have stopped recording.
Okay.
Now, do you have on your screen anything that tells you how much percent is uploaded?
All I can see is saying 100% and a cloud and an arrow.
Oh, no, you're okay. 100% is what I wanted. I've got 99 at the moment, so I'm not going to go out from here. But you can, if you're on 100%.
All right, okay.
I did this with Lee 3 or 4 weeks ago. It took us 8, because we tried before Christmas and we tried after Christmas, and he was doing impressions of a goldfish. Because I couldn't hear him at all. And then the third time we did it, we had the same problem. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Because he's the only person I've had this problem with. And we ended up somehow doing it through his iPad. And if I knew at the time, I'd forgotten about it, but you can't really do it through an iPad. And it takes forever to download.
All right.
And I get this message up from the guy. I went through the help people in the end, and they said, well, just send this link or this, that and the other. And Lee came back the next morning, it's still downloading. So I thought, oh, this is stupid, I'm just going to stop it here. And it was on about 85% uploaded, and I thought, oh god, we're probably going to lose a little bit. Actually, we didn't. It was all still there, so I don't know what was going on with that.
I'm on my iPad at the minute.
Right. Oh, that may be why you're halfway. Everything seems to work absolutely fine. Right. Okay, Neil, I won't keep you any longer. I'm ever so grateful to you.
That's all right.
And I'll be in touch.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. So I'll send you the details of what I need.
And
that'd be brilliant.
Super. Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Cheers. See you soon.
See you later.
Bye. Well, Neil's enthusiasm for CPD really is quite infectious. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to him. I do have to recommend his book, Untwisting the Road to Success, to anyone who, or any ADI or PDI. It is so easy to read in a style that flows really nicely, ever so easy to understand. Lots of great advice in there, and interspersed with a good number of really clear, high quality videos to support the narrative of the book. So if there's anything that he's spoken about today, the link to his website and link to the book will be in the notes accompanying this podcast. If you have enjoyed it, the Excel podcast does have a Facebook page, so it'd be great if you were to go there and give us a like and follow us. And thank you for listening, and hopefully catch up with you next time.